You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 338.
On flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you, might be. Sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hey there, Kevin.
Hey, it's our big Halloween show. It occurred to me about 10 seconds before we started recording.
Well, I guess that means that we're both super prepared for this. Not.
We don't have a lot of Halloween material for this Halloween week episode.
Yet, but when are we ever on time for anything?
We're notoriously out of touch with the rest of the network, if not the world.
Out of touch or out of sync. I think we'll eventually have Halloween things to talk about, just not as we record.
Give us a couple of weeks. Do you have any Halloween plans?
I am going to observe underwater pumpkin carving.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think it's going to be pretty fascinating.
Like somebody in scuba gear?
Yes.
They're going in.
All the gear.
They're going to carve a pumpkin.
And the fish are going to enjoy it.
Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah, I kind of can't wait.
I look forward to hearing how that goes. I'm hoping to carve at least one pumpkin this year. I got a pumpkin. I went into the pumpkin patch. I had to find which pumpkin patch was the most sincere.
That's necessary,
you know,
yes.
How pumpkin patches work. The next step is got to carve it. So I'm hoping before we're going to a couple of parties, I'm hoping in time for one of these parties, I will have a pumpkin carved. If so, we'll take pictures of it.
Cool.
We'll share it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because we have an Instagram page.
Yeah.
And occasionally I
It'll be everywhere. It'll go viral. All right, this concludes our Halloween programming.
Yes.
I haven't even watched any Halloween shows or movies or anything.
I haven't either.
We've got to get in, like, Charlie Brown, at least.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Halloween without. And I still watch that Garfield. And
you like Garfield Halloween?
Yeah,
even though I think I saw in the 80s. I don't think I've seen it since.
Completely spooky beans, but yeah.
There's a new Halloween movie out.
Yeah.
Like a sequel to the original 40 years ago, you know, Michael Myers Halloween movie, Jamie Lee Curtis. So I feel like maybe I'll go see this new one. Maybe.
I don't normally lean toward those sorts of
movies. No, you can't go to that.
Right. But I've seen some commercials for it.
Were you considering going to the new Halloween movie?
It briefly occurred to me that, hey, this actually looks like it's really well done.
Yeah. You haven't seen the first one, have you?
No. But I didn't see Terminator 1 or 2 and still saw Terminator 3,
okay.
So this is a method that tends to work out for me.
Yeah, just jump in.
Who needs context? Certainly not this girl.
That's a good point.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I definitely shouldn't see that.
Yeah, nevertheless, no. I still think it's a bad idea.
It's not cornflake friendly.
Yeah, you stick with Garfield.
You know I will.
That's scary enough.
And I probably still have nightmares.
I think you will. All right, this concludes our Halloween programming. Maybe we'll have a little Halloween follow-up in a week or two.
So, Michael Myers.
Yeah.
He wore that mask, right?
Yes. It was a Captain Kirk mask, like a rubber William Shatner mask. They turned it inside out. That was the original Halloween mask.
Who was the one that wore the hockey mask?
That was the guy in the Friday the 13th movies.
Jason.
Yeah. And then the mask with the bat ears on it, that's Batman. Those are the Batman movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll make a chart. We'll get this all straightened out.
Yes.
Say, Cornflake, we're going to get to the results of the fish heads bet later in the show when we get into Super Mega Fest. Before anything may or may not change regarding National Whatever Day, this is still whatever you want this week. No rules, no restrictions. Cornflake, what is this week's National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
This is really as close as I could get to a Halloween-themed National Whatever Day, short of saying, oh, hey, Halloween.
Oh, good.
There was a reason I was asking about Jason and the hockey mask, because November 1st is Hockey Mask Day.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, you would think that just seems random, right?
Yeah.
It was on November 1st in 1959 in a game between the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Rangers that the Canadiens goaltender was struck in the face by a shot, and they didn't wear hockey masks at the time.
No, masks were not always standard issue in the nasty world of hockey.
So, After getting stitched up, he refused to go without the mask. So, happy National Hockey Mask Day.
Yeah, all right. That's a weird pick for you.
Hockey masks are especially creepy this time of year, though.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely true. Are you into hockey?
I like hockey.
I don't think I knew that.
I don't think you did either.
If I did, I forgot.
Well, I love ice skating, and yeah. I love anger. And so.
Well, let's move on, because we got a couple of things to run through today. Before we get to Super Mega Fest, I did something just days before Super Mega Fest. Mystery Science Theater 3000 came to town.
Yeah.
MST3K Live. They're still on tour as we speak.
Saw the pictures. That's like a lot of fun.
The mayor and I went. So you had Joel, you know, the original Mystery Science Theater guy. Joel was there. The new guy is there, Jonah mm-hmm. Ray. And the robots, Crow and Tom Servo, you know.
That is so cool.
And we know one of the robots.
We know one of the robots pretty well.
There's a guy named Tim who's puppeteering Tom Servo. But over on the other side of the stage, puppeteering Crow, is our buddy Grant.
Grant Pachoco
from the Podcasters Hall of Fame, you know, inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Grant from Grant's Advent Calendar and the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And Throwing Toasters.
Throwing Toasters from the World of Comedy Music.
And for a while, the Flapcast.
The Flapcast. Our evil rival podcast.
Yes.
Our enemy podcast, the Flapcast. That's right. Grant was the host of the Flapcast. And I saw Grant just a couple months ago down in Atlanta. Grant was a guest at Dragon Con this year, along with the whole MST3K crew. So the mayor and I went to night one. They did two nights in Boston. We were there night one. The movie they showed was The Brain. There was a giant evil brain in it.
It sounds like the perfect movie for MST3K, really.
It was an ideal movie for these guys to riff on. And it was great to see Grant again, of course. And, you know, I just saw Grant down at Dragon Con, but Felicity hadn't seen Grant in years.
Sounds like a good time.
It was great. And it was so great, in fact, that they were there two nights in Boston
mm-hmm.
doing two different movies.
Oh.
Yeah, they're doing two movies on this tour. And some of us were crazy enough to go both nights.
Well, yeah, if there's two different movies
yeah.
to see.
Well, the mayor was not that crazy, but I was. So I went back, you know, just me, night two.
And I bet Grant was there again.
Grant was there again, yes. Joel was there again.
Grant's crazy enough to do this every night.
I think he's there for the whole tour. Grant's living on a bus right now with Joel Hodgson. But I was back night two. The movie was from 1987. It was called Death Stalker 2.
The fact that there's one of those, and then there's a sequel.
And just like how you were considering going to the new Halloween sequel, even though you haven't seen the first Halloween movies,
mm-hmm.
I have not seen Death Stalker 1. Luckily, the movie is so stupid that I got the impression that not a lot of... previous knowledge from Deathstalker 1 was required to pick up the threads of the storyline.
Are you sure you weren't watching the Garfield Halloween
special? It might have been Garfield Halloween. Yeah, it's all a blur. Mm. And the movie is excellent. I recommend The Brain and Deathstalker 2.
You recommend Deathstalker 2?
Yeah, but only if there are robots making fun of it. Just wanted to mention, at least, that that happened. We got to see Mystery Science Theater live, and especially great to see our buddy Grant. Right up here in Boston.
Love that.
And I guess this was just a couple of days after that. Here we go. Let's get into this now. Super Mega Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And you were threatening to show up at Super Mega Fest.
Yes.
I don't think you did. I didn't see you there.
Not.
You weren't there. You were thinking about going, though.
I was, and I can't even remember why I didn't wind up going.
Look, it's always exciting. Even when word gets out that you might show up at one of these conventions, that just creates a buzz in the room.
Oh.
Yeah, so you had an impact on the crowd anyway.
I tell you what.
Just the rumor that maybe Cornflake will be here.
Toward the end of the show, I will tell you about an event that I am going to show up at.
Okay.
I will make up for it in some small way.
But Super Mega Fest was back in Framingham, back in its original location at that castle-shaped hotel in Framingham, where it used to be for many, many years. The convention kind of outgrew that space, because remember how stuffed and crowded and ridiculous it was? And Super Mega Fest moved to a convention center a couple of towns away, and it fits much better over there.
Right.
But everybody missed the old location. Well, Cornflake Mega Fest went back to Framingham.
It's a little bit like outgrowing your favorite jeans. You're not going to just get rid of them. Of course, you're going to like try to stuff yourself back in them anyway. So,
So people were very happy that Super Mega Fest was returning to Framingham. I was less happy about it because I thought, why would we want to try to squish back in there again?
Because you hate fun.
Can't we stay where it's roomier and less fun? I argued. But no, back to Framingham we went. And the convention was announcing in advance that due to their new layout, it would not be as crowded. They would fit better. And I didn't understand how that was possible without taking a wrecking ball to some of the walls and knocking out, you know, like, the building is the same size.
That's exactly what I thought of.
How are they going to make it less crowded? Well, they actually did change the layout of the convention. And what they did, the answer was that big main room, it was about two-thirds of it was dealers, all the vendors selling comics and toys and junk. And then like one-third of it was the celebrity tables for the celebrities signing autographs. They pulled all the celebrities out of that room. So All the celebrity autograph people were downstairs, those basement-level hallways and rooms downstairs.
They stuck the guests in the basement?
All the famous people are in the basement. And it seemed to work. It did not feel as crowded. Our buddies at Rubber Chicken Comics, not only were they back, they were in, like, their table was in the exact same space it used to be, like, 3 years ago.
It's because they never left.
Yeah. Rubber Chicken right back where they always are. And you know I hardly ever buy anything at conventions?
Mm-hmm.
The vendors and dealers at conventions, I'm their worst nightmare because I'm there all weekend. I don't spend a dime.
Yeah.
I'm what they call a deadbeat.
It's interesting to look at everything, of course.
Yeah, I look at everything. I don't buy anything for the most part.
But you couldn't resist.
Well, look what I got from Rubber Chicken. Look at this. Here's a what's in the bag. So I'm fishing things out of a bag. Rubber Chicken Comics, they somehow found a giant stash of promotional movie buttons.
What is this?
From the 80s.
What?
These are like 30-year-old promo movie pins. Look at this. I got Masters of the Universe, the He-Man movie, the live-action one with Dolph Lundgren.
I thought that was just a bad dream.
So we have a Goonies button.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got a Big Trouble in Little China.
I love that.
Got a bunch of them. Brazil, Christmas Story button. Got a Spaceballs button.
That is, what does it say?
It says, may the Schwartz be with you.
Okay, good.
Of course, Rocketeer. That's from the 90s, I think, early 90s. What do we got? Oh, this is a good one. Look at that. Free Johnny Dangerously. Oh, Aliens. Lenticular Aliens pin. See that?
I love that.
The lettering moves on it when you move it. Aliens.
Freaky.
Another lenticular. Splash. This might be my favorite. Daryl Hannah and Splash, the mermaid.
That's the best one.
And it's lenticular. It's two different pictures of a mermaid. And look at this one. Indy 3.
The pin.
And well, what's interesting about that is that apparently they put out this button before they announced the name of the third Indiana Jones movie.
Oh.
Because the movie was not called Indy 3. It's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But here's a button that says Indy 3.
Huh.
So now we have a bunch of movie pins. Anyway, R.W. Martin, the man of 1,000 costumes, he was there lurking around all weekend. R.W. and his friend Tracy were in Home Alone costumes, as in like the Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci from Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good. Matches Malone was there. My buddy Matches, who's our local Batman customer. Our buddy Andrea was there. You know Andrea?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked about her.
Andrea, I didn't even know she was going to be there. I just turned the corner and there's Andrea and Chris and got to hang out with them. And Andrea found the weirdest thing at the whole convention.
She did?
We were poking around. There was a guy that had like some old stuff, like some cool old collectibles and stuff. And among the stuff he had for sale was a box of trash bags.
That is weird.
Not what you'd expect to find. And Andrea picked it up and looked at it. This was like a hefty trash bags from the 1960s, I guess. It was a very old box of trash bags. But it had a picture of Jonathan Winters on the box.
There's nothing like having your picture on a box of trash bags.
This is for some reason, those weasels over at Hefty, they thought that maybe comedian Jonathan Winters can help us move some trash bags.
And they're wrong, because how many years later that box still hasn't
sold?
Here it
is. It's 50 years later. Unsold, unopened, box of trash. We didn't even buy it. But Andrea wins, though. That was the weirdest thing in the room.
That is wild.
Yeah. Our friends from Wicked Geeky were there, but they're not Wicked Geeky anymore. You can look them up now. They have a new Facebook page. Now they've rebranded as Good Enough Cosplay. And they emerged later in the night doing a group-themed costume group together. They were all Britney Spears. But different versions of Britney Spears. They were all in different Britney Spears costumes.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little better. I thought they were each playing different parts of Britney Spears.
One giant Britney Spears, like Voltron?
Yes.
That'd
Voltron
be the
Spears.
Scariest thing that ever happened.
You wouldn't want to hit that one more time.
So lots of our wonderful costume buddies were lurking around all weekend, and it's always great to hang out with all of them. And our photos are up already on our Facebook page. If you go to the Flopcast Facebook page, there is a photo album for Super Mega Fest 2018. Check that out. See pictures of everybody there. All right, let's get to the celebrity stuff now.
Yeah.
I went to a couple of celebrity panels, as we mentioned in our preview show, one of which was Leave It to Beaver, the Leave It to Beaver reunion.
You were so looking forward to this.
Well, yeah, I was such a Leave It to Beaver fan. I still am, but I haven't actually watched the show in a long, long time. But man, back in the 80s, I was just hooked on Leave It to Beaver reruns, like every day. I met Jerry Mathers, who he was the Beaver.
Right.
Many years ago. I met Jerry Mathers back in the 90s. Jerry and Ken Osmond, who played Eddie Haskell, they did an appearance together at some weird event that I went to long, long ago, over 20 years ago. Hadn't seen him since. But at Super Mega Fest, this was Jerry Mathers, who was the Beaver, and Tony Dow, who was his brother Wally. So these are the two Cleaver boys were there together. I'd never seen Tony Dow before. I went to their panel. Leave It to Beaver started in 1957, and it holds up.
It's still good.
Yeah, because people dismiss it as like a sappy 50s sitcom, but the stuff with the kids is, you know, kids are creepy and weird, and they got that
yes.
on that show. They let kids be weird and really be like real goofy kids. Their friends were all horrible. You know, everybody remembers Eddie Haskell. He's like the classic horrible kid
yes.
in sitcom history, but all their friends were horrible.
It's true.
Eddie was the greatest, of course, but right down the line, their friends were just the worst people in the world. And it was wonderful, because kids are horrible, and they got that on Leave It to Beaver. So it was really great seeing them speak about the show all these years later. Now, the other big cast reunion, of course, that I was very excited about, Lost in Space.
Yes. Right,
which we talk about all the time. It occurs to me, we've done our fair share of Lost in Space talk here on the Flopcast.
For everything we lack, we make up for it in Lost in Space talk.
We get everything wrong, but we're pretty solid on Lost in Space, I think. We know the important things.
Everybody has something going for them. For us, Lost in Space.
Well, this was a pretty big Lost in Space cast reunion. It's about as big as it can get these days. In that they had four original Lost in Space cast members.
Including Marta Kristen.
Marta was there. Mark Goddard, who was Major Don West. Marta and Mark have been around together in recent years. They were just 3 years ago. They were together at a show here in the Boston area. They also had at MegaFest Angela Cartwright and Bill Mumy. And I had not seen Angela or Bill in person in almost 20 years. The other surviving cast member is June Lockhart, is still alive, we should say. June is 93, I think. She does not go out and do public appearances anymore, but she's still in touch with everybody else from the show, though. They say that she's still hanging in there, doing well.
Oh, that's
great.
Which
is nice to hear. Hey, kids, we had Marta Kristen on the show.
Yes.
About 3 years ago. She was nice enough to do a quick interview for the Flopcast.
That is one of my all-time favorite interviews
from
the show.
She was so sweet. Marta played Judy Robinson, the older daughter, on the show. And I believe Marta, when she was on the Flopcast, Marta mentioned that she had just been to June's 90th birthday party
yeah.
back then. And yeah, June's still doing well, they say, at 93. How about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. I did talk to Marta briefly at mm-hmm. MegaFest again this year. I had a chance to go say hi to her and catch up for a couple of minutes, and she's still doing great.
Did you tell her to tell Bill not to play fish heads?
Oh, we'll get to that. Don't you worry. Marta actually mentioned that she was hoping she'd have time while she was around Boston to get to the Museum of Fine Arts. She was afraid she would not have time, but apparently she has Aww. She has a relative or two in this area, mm-hmm. and she was hoping to actually get to the museum as well. So I hope she did.
Yeah,
she wasn't
me
sure
too.
If she'd have time. It's a nice place. You been there?
It was so long ago, but yes.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of Lost in Space stuff at the Museum of Fine Arts, do they? That's
no.
where they're lacking.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I take it all back. I do not recommend these Museum of Fine Arts. It's a dump. Anyway, Lost in Space. They had the big Lost in Space reunion. It was great. Such a treat to see the four of them together. Anyway, let's get to this, because in addition to appearing on the Lost in Space reunion panel, which was great, Bill Mumy, TV's Will Robinson, is also a very accomplished musician as a solo artist and as part of many different music groups over the years.
Now that you've mentioned his TV name,
Will Robinson,
I just hear a robot saying danger.
Danger, warning, Will Robinson.
Yes, that's all I can hear in my head now.
That's the robot loved to scream, danger, Will Robinson. Very first episode of Lost in Space, Bill Mumy plays guitar and sings on that show. He had just started playing guitar back then. And the creator of the show, Irwin Allen, saw Bill playing with a guitar just, you know, between takes and stuff and said, hey, let's use that in the show.
Wrote it into the show.
Yeah, they had like a campfire scene towards the end of the first episode. And Bill actually plays and sings. And he cringes over how he sings these days. He's not proud of that early performance.
They kind of put him on the spot.
But Bill Mumy at Super Mega Fest did his own solo acoustic concert, as we've been mentioning for the last few weeks here on the show. Because this is where you and I laid down a little wager.
I've since had some regrets.
Now it's time to pay up.
Oh, boy.
So Bill, as we say, has been part of many bands, but perhaps most notoriously, Bill was part of Barnes & Barnes, a wacky, bizarre, novelty, comedy, freaky, weird band.
Responsible for a song called Fish Heads.
Fish Heads, the most notorious, famous song, arguably, in the history of the Dr. Demento show, is Fish Heads. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. It's bizarre and ridiculous.
It never stops being funny.
You know, Fish Heads, this is the 40th anniversary of Fish Heads this year. That song came out in 78. So this is appropriate. This is this big Fish Heads bed of ours. It's all going down in a big anniversary year.
Much more interesting now.
Let's break this down.
Okay.
When I mentioned to you that I was going to go see Bill Mumy solo in concert, and I said, he's not going to do Fish Heads at this show. This is a solo acoustic Bill Mumy show. He's not doing Fish Heads. You immediately insisted, yes, of course he is going to do Fish
Heads. How could he not do Fish Heads?
That was your position. And we made a wager. We made it interesting. What was it, $800? What was the dollar amount that we settled on?
How do you translate what we decided to bet into dollar amounts?
I'm trying to remember how much money we might have on the line right now.
Well, we'd be talking about an estimated retail value, though, because what we wagered essentially was iced coffee and whatever day.
Oh, that's right. I was seeing if I could trick you into opening your wallet right now.
Oh, no.
All right.
No.
That's right. The bet was if Bill Mumy played Fish Heads, I would have to serve iced coffee to you while we record the Flopcast all winter long. We were never going to switch to hot coffee. And right now we should
drinking some of that iced coffee.
As I speak, you are taking a sip of iced coffee because I wasn't going to cut over to hot coffee necessarily because I want to keep you in suspense. So I had both. We've got the iced and the hot going right now. You still have iced coffee, perhaps for the last time this year, because come on, it's late October and this is ridiculous. But that's the bet.
Right.
If you win, it's iced coffee all winter long.
Right.
Now, if I win, if Bill did not play Fish Heads, which is what I thought would happen, I was going to take over National Whatever Day.
Right.
National Whatever Day for the whole winter would be Capes or Apes. Your National Whatever Day topic had to somehow involve either superheroes or apes and monkeys every week.
Non-human primates.
Capes or apes.
Mm-hmm.
And that would avoid ridiculous things like Hockey Mask Day.
You would think.
Actually, it wouldn't, because I could turn Hockey Mask Day into Capes or Apes right now if I wanted to.
As could I.
There was a superhero named Wild Dog.
Yes.
And his... Oh, you've got that in your notes?
Yes.
I know about Wild Dog. It's a DC superhero from the late 80s who wore a hockey mask and has been featured on the Arrow TV show in the last couple of seasons.
It's a slightly different iteation of Wild Dog than the one that came out in 1987.
I know about Wild Dog. Hockey Mask Day, you could arguably wedge shoehorn into Capes or Apes.
And
but
you know,
we would have focused a lot more on Wild Dog in that case.
I might have been prepared to do just that.
I'm sure you were, obviously. I didn't know you were hiding Wild Dog there in your notes. Nice. Anyway, that's the bet. It's iced coffee or it's Capes or Apes. So I show up for the Bill Mumy solo acoustic concert. I'm very excited about this.
And I get a text from you saying, I'm seated at the show.
I warned you. I was front row center. I was like 4 feet away from Bill Mumy.
Whispering to him, don't play that.
That's right. I was trying to...
Is there
some way I could psychologically influence the
holding up a sign
from here?
No Fish Heads.
So packed house filled the room with people that wanted to see Bill do his acoustic show, including Mark Goddard was there, Marta Kristen was there, his Lost in Space fellow cast members were showing up to watch him play, which was nice. I don't know if Angela Cartwright was there. I didn't see her on her way in, but she might have come in after I was already up front. Angela Cartwright, we should mention, also in Sound of Music. She was at Von Trapp.
Oh, yeah. I did actually know.
Yeah, she's a Von Trapp.
That sounds like an insult. You're such a Von Trapp.
I don't know if Angela made the concert. She may have been in the room somewhere. Anyway, Bill Mumy comes out. And Bill, in addition to Barnes & Barnes, he's done lots of solo work over the years. I have one or two of his solo albums. He had a band called The Generators, including Miguel Ferrer. Actor Miguel Ferrer was a member of The Generators. They worked a lot together. He had a comic book-themed band made up of comic book creators. It was Bill Mumy, it was Miguel Ferrer, it was Max Allen Collins, and Steve Lealoa. These are all comic book guys. They had a band called Seduction of the Innocent that used to perform at San Diego Comic-Con back in the 90s. I saw Bill perform with Seduction of the Innocent once. I think it was 1999. And he had a new band. He just put out a record last year with a band called the Action Skulls, which included John Cowsill from the Cowsills.
Yeah.
That's like the band.
Where else do you hear Cowsill?
The band that Rhode Island's own, the Cowsills. That's the band, the family band that inspired the Partridge Family. John Cowsill was a member of this band, the Action Skulls, with Bill Mumy, as well as John Cowsill's wife is Vicki Peterson from the Bangles.
Say what?
This is a super group.
Wow.
It's a Traveling Wilburys style super group, the Action Skulls. So check them out too. So he's done a lot. Quite a varied music career.
Are you saying he had other songs to play besides Fishheads?
Believe it or not, he has a lot of material to draw from that is not Fishheads. That's exactly what I'm saying. And Bill came out and he opened the show and closed the show with songs that he did not write. Everything else was from his own catalog, stuff that he had written, including, I think there was one song he did was an America song that he wrote or co-wrote with the guys from America. You know, Horse With No Name, those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, he's actually worked with America quite a bit.
So they had a whole group of people writing that song and nobody knew what the horse's name was?
We're still trying to name the stupid horse. Hey, he opened the show with a Birds song. You know the Birds?
Yes.
Called Hey Mr. Spaceman.
Oh.
Which is appropriate because, you know, this is Will Robinson.
Yes.
Opened with Hey Mr. Spaceman, which is great. He closed with the George Harrison song, Isn't It a Pity, which was beautiful. Somewhere in the middle there, he did another song as well, which is that song that he sang and played on the first episode of Lost in Space was Greensleeves.
Oh.
And he actually told the story of how he came to play that on the show.
Wow.
And how he cringes over how ridiculous he sounded singing it as a little kid. And then he performed a beautiful instrumental version of Greensleeves at the show.
In fairness to him, that part of Greensleeves where it shoots up to the high part, that's not easy to sing.
Well, he did it right this time. Really some beautiful songs. He dedicated a song to Miguel Ferrer. They were very close, and you know, Miguel died last year, of course, very young. I was wondering if he would do any Seduction of the Innocent songs, because they did a whole album back then as well. Seduction of the Innocent, his comic book band, did a whole album of comic book-themed songs, and I have it. It's great. He didn't do any of that, but he did do a song sort of comic book themed, a new song called Cherokee Books. And this is about a bookstore that he used to go to get comic books and old science fiction books and stuff. Just this great old used bookstore in Los Angeles. Here's where things get weird, Cornflake.
Yeah?
In the chorus of this song, he rhymes masks and capes.
Does he?
And talking apes.
What? Is this a
That's
coincidence?
In his, yes, it's a coincidence. I knew nothing about this song going into this bet. I just came up with Capes or Apes on my own for our Fishheads bet.
Really?
He has a song in which he rhymes capes and apes.
That is just so wild.
I could not believe what I was hearing. I freaked out. I started screaming. Mark Goddard and Marta Kristen had to pin me down, slap me around, you know. But it was a nice acoustic concert in which he played nice acoustic songs, as we expected.
So tell me about which arrangement he used for fish.
Yeah, enjoy your coffee cubes over there, by the way.
No!
Your late October coffee cubes.
No!
And before we wrap up this part of the show, though, a couple of more things about his set. As the show was winding down, he made a point of saying to everybody, we have this one Earth to live on.
Right.
This is the only place we have to live.
Uh-huh.
We can't go off into Jupiter, too. Crash on another planet without... He didn't say that.
Right.
I'm adding that part. It was implied.
Yes. Well, when you're from the cast of Lost in Space.
But he mentioned, we have to take care of this Earth.
Right.
And please make sure you go and vote.
Yes.
He didn't commit to how to vote, but I think read between the lines.
Right.
And that we want to take care of this planet. Make sure you vote.
Vote anti-destruction.
Online, earlier this week, he was less subtle.
Oh.
In that he made a post online, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this thing that Bill just posted, it begins, warning, warning, danger, danger. This administration does not compute. It goes on and on and on.
That's beyond perfect.
This is a long, long thing that he wrote, and it ends, vote them out before we all end up in the cornfield.
Wow.
Well said.
Could have been better said with fish heads.
And absolutely, everybody, listen to Will Robinson. Listen to Bill Mooney. I voted today, by the way. You can vote early in some places.
True.
Here in Massachusetts, there's early voting in some communities, at least. I voted a couple hours ago as we record. Will Robinson told me to go vote, and that's exactly what I did today.
Cool.
And so should all of you, and you guys know what to do.
Right.
And one more thing from the Bill Mooney show that I definitely had to share with you as he was wrapping up. He said, this is an audience participation song. You have to participate. And he said, you know it. It's that one. If you don't know it, you will by the second chorus. So please, please, please join me. And then he played Fish Heads. Cornflake, he played. Bill Mooney totally played Fish Heads at Super Megafest. That was the finale of the show. He absolutely played Fish Heads right in front of me. I was 4 feet away.
Oh my goodness. Kevin, I'm so sorry.
Just as he was gearing up, he strummed a couple of chords, and I thought, those sounded like the Fish Heads chords. Wait a minute. He played note for note the whole song perfectly as a giant audience sing-along.
Sang along with Fish Heads.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is a geek convention. How could he not play Fish Heads?
I didn't think he was going to play Fish Heads. Well, I was totally wrong and you were totally right. And he absolutely played Fish Heads.
Wow.
So, nicely done, Cornflake. And guess who's making coffee cubes all winter?
Kevin. This is my finest hour. I mean, I kind of feel bad for you, but
well,
we're going to have coffee cubes all winter now.
As I was losing the bet, I was delighted.
You really were?
Absolutely.
Because you were in a room full of people singing Fish Heads?
I'm watching Bill Mooney perform Fish Heads right in front of me. It was magical. I loved it.
Wow.
But I'm a huge loser.
You know, following the concert, I was like peeking around on Facebook and stuff to see if anybody commented on, oh, you know, great rendition of Fish Heads. And there was nothing to that effect.
Yeah. I swore everybody to secrecy. I had Marta Kristen posted at the door threatening everyone as they exited. You keep your mouth shut about Fish Heads.
I'm having the time of my life here being right for a change, but I won't get used to it, I promise.
Oh, my. Well, Cornflake, that was Super Mega Fest, and that was you winning the big Flopcast Fish Heads bet. Congratulations.
Thank you, Kevin.
Going to be a winter of icy cold coffee.
Yes.
Just for you. All right, let's get off Mega Fest and what a big loser I am. And you had something for us with Mousy, right?
I do, yeah. We've heard from Mousy recently.
Yes.
Our friend, Flopcast listener, Mousy.
Good friend of the show.
Yes. And Mousy is once again doing Extra Life. Extra Life is a 24-hour gaming marathon. It starts at 8 a.m. on Saturday, November 3rd, and goes until 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, November 4th, because of daylight savings. And those who are participating play board games for 24 hours.
Wow.
And yes. And it is a fundraiser. They raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. We will share a link if you want to donate. And it's going to be at the Castle in Beverly. Have I told you at all about the Castle, Kevin?
Yeah, we've mentioned this before. Because Mousy has done this fundraiser for at least a couple of years now, if not longer.
And so it is a gaming room and a bar mm-hmm. where you can get really cool drinks. And if you're in Beverly, you can also go in during the wee hours of the night or morning and join in the gaming and help keep people like Mousy awake so that they can meet their fundraising goals.
Just go in there and poke at them with a stick.
This year, I myself will be in attendance.
You're going to show up?
Yes.
Nice.
I'm going to be part of it.
So now, this is an opportunity to possibly see Cornflake making a rare public appearance.
It's true. Well, they lured me out with a plate of warm cookies and a whole wall of games.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely joining in this year and helping to keep the Extra Life participants awake.
Well, that is terrific. So yeah, we're very proud of our friend Mousy, who dedicates a full day to just gaming as a fundraiser.
And then flops.
One would hope that you could flop after your 24 hours are up.
And, I mean, there are other places that are hosting the same event for Extra Life.
Right.
But this is the local place.
Okay. So there could be people in other parts of the country may have other locations they could visit in person as well then.
Yes.
But in any event, we'll have the link up. And yeah, wouldn't it be nice if Flopcast listeners pitched in to Mousy's fundraiser?
For the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Nice. All right. So, yeah. Thank you, Mousy, for doing that once again. And we will hopefully steer a few bucks your way for a good cause. I have a thing to plug as well, or at least to point people towards. You know our buddy Blasted Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the high feather thing he did?
No.
No? I should have mentioned this weeks ago. I kept forgetting to bring this up. But High Feather, the ridiculous kid show that we were obsessed with last summer.
Yes.
Goofy show about a bunch of kids at summer camp.
Obsessed last summer. I never stopped being obsessed.
We are still obsessed. Well, I performed the High Feather theme in front of people in a public forum just a few weeks ago.
And it was the first time I had smiled in months.
The only thing that brought me happiness this year.
The only thing that brings me joy.
One of the weird things about that show is it's a goofy, low-budget kids educational show. But there was a lot of original music on that show, original songs, like songs that they just used in one episode or another. And there was a goofy song about vegetables.
I remember that. That's one of the best ones.
One of the goofiest songs in just one episode. Well, Blasted Bill, our buddy Blasted Bill from the Pod of Destiny, created his own music video using that High Feather vegetable song.
He did.
He did. He posted it online. It's wonderful. I love that we're still generating new High Feather content.
I do too.
As a people. And the mayor of Chickentown has added Bill's video to our Flopcast YouTube channel. We have a High Feather playlist with all the episodes.
Yes.
And now it's all the episodes plus Bill's video.
So that's where we can see it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I can't believe I've gone this long without knowing this.
Well, yeah. Check out the Flopcast YouTube channel. We'll have links to it for this episode as well. We'll make sure everybody can find Bill's wonderful High Feather video.
Oh my goodness, Blasted Bill.
Look at what our friends are doing.
It doesn't get better than Blasted Bill.
That's right.
It really doesn't.
All right. This show is running long and it's running weird. Let's stop. Get us out of here.
All right. So now it's my job to tell you where to find us on the internet. I have to stop gloating about fish heads in order to do that. So why not go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/flopcast, or go to Twitter where our handle is @flopcast. We've got our website, flopcast.net, and we're on Instagram. The_flopcast is our handle there.
And, oh, I got one more plug.
Oh, do the thing.
Then we're really going to get out of here. But I was on Pop Culture Cosmos. I was on two different Pop Culture Cosmos episodes. Pop Culture Cosmos, you know, it's another show here on the ESO Network.
Mm-hmm.
And Gerald, who's the host, he does kind of two versions of the show because there's Pop Culture Cosmos and there's PCC Multiverse. I don't know how any of this works.
It's kind of like the two versions of Don't Cry on Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 with Guns N' Roses, right?
It's a lot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He even wears that hat, like Slash.
Wow.
Yeah. The whole show is based on the Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. You've summed this up perfectly. Anyway, I was on the show. It's become a tradition. I think this is the third year that I've gone on Pop Culture Cosmos to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations, because they've put out the new list of nominees, and Gerald likes to have me on to whine and complain. It's become a nice tradition. So I was on once again, and actually Mike Faber was on with me, our director of the ESO Network. So it was me and Mike and Gerald breaking down the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees, and you can find that conversation. It's split into two different episodes, so you can find us on Pop Culture Cosmos episode 111,
mm-hmm.
And also the conversation continues on PCC Multiverse episode 90.
Cool.
that's a wacky show because Gerald mixes it up. He cranks out those shows. He's very timely. They cover whatever's in the geek news. So he's always right on top of everything going on. Lots of guests, lots of short segments on all sorts of subjects.
Yes, there's a great deal of versatility in his platform.
Yeah, a lot of sports talk.
Yes.
On Pop Culture Cosmos. He covers football.
Hey, we did sports talk on the show this week.
We do a little sports occasionally. Yeah, hockey, that's right. We got in some hockey talk. Gerald covers a lot of football every year. Now we're into football season, and like he breaks down fantasy football and every week in the NFL. And you don't get a lot of sports talk on these geek shows, you know, but he's even covering the sports people.
Thanks to Gerald.
He's covering it all on Pop Culture Cosmos. I went to a football game. Last week.
I noticed, and it didn't rain.
It did not rain, yeah, because we were outside. Yeah, and me and Brittany. Not Brittany Spears, our real Brittany, our friend Brittany from Good Enough Cosplay. Brittany and I went back to Patriots game again. We had the fancy inside luxury suite tickets last time.
Mm-hmm.
This time, yeah, we were outside, exposed to the elements among the common people.
So much more rustic that way.
Yeah, we were roughing it, like regular people.
Like the peasants.
Oh, I'm telling you, how did we survive? Anyway, no, it was great. And Pop Culture Cosmos, find me there talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I believe next week you can find you and me right here on the Flopcast. Next week we will be talking about those Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees.
Looking forward to that.
Let's do that next week.
All right.
See you there.
Peace and cookies.
What is the Geekly Oddcast? It's a panel show of television.
I mean, seriously, where else was I supposed to go and watch Gomez Adams ride a rocket ship on a railroad track?
Gaming.
And the dice say 17.
Oh my god, 17 is Mystic Quest. And whatever comes to mind.
Why does Zod need a starship?
Alternating Thursdays on the Geekly Oddcast.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right, we're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as a dollar a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
Cornflake, are we doing a secret after show, or are you just going to kick back and smugly sip from your iced coffee?
I hope it will never get old, Kevin, that I use the secret after show as something of my secret confessional. Because, as all of our listeners know, I have this New Year's resolution where I'm watching a movie that I've never seen before that I probably should have seen by now, based on the fact that it seems everybody else in the world has seen the movie.
So you've been seeing a movie a month.
Yes.
That you should have seen a long time ago.
And for October, I had picked My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, I have not seen My Cousin Vinny.
Well, I still, as we record, have a couple of days of the month left. And you might wonder, Cornflake, you've got a whole month and one movie to watch. How come, you know, you're such a slacker?
Yeah.
And
yeah, what's your problem over there?
So I have a secret. And I feel like I can now reveal it to the world.
Yeah, you really open up to the secret after-show audience. These are the only people you trust.
But anyway, you wouldn't commonly find me in front of a TV screen for watching television shows or movies. And, you know, for the first time in a really long time, I've started to follow some of the current TV shows.
Been watching TV shows.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like Barney Miller?
No.
I'm sorry, I thought it was 1979 for a minute there. What are you watching?
There are actually some decent current shows, because for a while there was the whole Survivor and all the shows that were like Survivor, and that was never really my bag.
It's junk.
Yeah.
It's trash. I should know, because I watch those shows.
Yes.
What are you watching? Because there are good quality shows. There are too many quality shows these days. It's a problem.
I didn't realize it, but I'm now watching Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, I've not seen that.
That is quite humorous, and it's especially appealing, I think, to kids like me who grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then I am watching The Good Place.
I am watching The Good Place also, yes. I know The Good Place.
Love.
Isn't that great?
The Good Place.
Yeah. Are you caught up, or are you in the process of going through the earlier seasons?
I'm almost done with season one. No, I just got into season two.
Okay, so you have a ways to go then.
Yes.
Yeah, I think season three just started.
Yes.
In real time.
And it's hard not to read any articles about it.
Yeah.
Because this has been my thing all along, is I'm not big on hype, and I never want things spoiled for me, so I usually just pay no attention at all.
Yeah, me too.
But I got into The Good Place, and I like it a lot. And then I am also bawling my eyes out to the TV drama This Is Us.
Oh, no. I have not seen that, but I've heard of it. I know people make fun of it.
It is beyond touching.
Well, I'm not watching that.
You probably shouldn't. Somebody probably should have warned me because I'm a big softy.
All I know about that is, yeah, people make fun of it because it's a show where people cry and it's just ridiculously dramatic, I suppose, and with sad people.
But it's beautiful.
And I know that one of the actors on that show is Justin Hartley, who played Green Arrow back on Smallville.
Yes.
That's all I know.
Also true.
Well, enjoy.
I love it. But yeah, I'm getting a little bit distracted from my New Year's resolution, but it kind of makes me wonder, and maybe this should be a consideration for this coming year.
Are you going to make a New Year's resolution to watch a lot more television?
Yes. Which probably means I'm doing it wrong.
This year I'm going to get on the couch. I'm going to have a lot more Doritos.
Stare at a screen, completely slack-jawed. Happy New Year to me.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.